Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going on this series about slavery. We're getting pretty close to the end. I think tomorrow will be the last one in the series. Today we're talking about slavery in the New Testament and what did it really look like in the New Testament. We're going to answer questions like, why doesn't Jesus just explicitly denounce slavery outright? Or why doesn't the apostles, or, you know, why doesn't Paul, Peter, or James, or any New Testament writer address this issue directly? Well, we're going to talk about that today and tomorrow. And with that, let's just go ahead and jump right in. You know, that's just about it. I mean, I really don't need to go too much further with the New Testament version of we already know that these Christians, most of them had a Jewish background, and even the ones that didn't were reading the Old Testament. I mean, that's all they had. And they were being taught things like the Old Testament laws where you're supposed to treat your slave with respect, and things like you can't kidnap a person and make them a slave. You know, Exodus 21 verse 6, he who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or he is found in his possession, shall surely be put to death. And yeah, of course, they weren't doing that in the New Testament, but that shows you God's heart. And, you know, moving into the New Testament, you have scriptures like 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, and Timothy goes on this little rant here about different things, but in there he mentions men stealers. He says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, that would be somebody that kidnaps another person for whatever reason, whether it be slavery or something far worse. And then he goes on, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And Christ taught to love your neighbor as yourself. So, again, you see that theme of changing people's hearts. He taught about things like greed and materialism and contentment and generosity. So, anyway, let's look at some scriptures that pertain to slavery in the New Testament, and let's see what we can learn from them. Slaves were encouraged to become free if they could, but if not, don't worry about it. So in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, we read, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. All right, so what are we seeing here? If Christ bought you with his blood, you are Christ's servant, right? But in the flesh, if you're the servant of somebody, well, if you can be free, seek that out. But if you're stuck, I mean, if you're going to be a servant for life or whatever, it's okay. And so we move on here, and we learn that slaves were taught to be obedient to their masters, and they were to serve them as if they were serving Christ himself. Okay, and that goes for all of us who have jobs, too. We're supposed to serve our boss, you know, whoever's in command at your job, as if you're serving Christ. Now, that doesn't mean bow down and worship him, but you know what I mean. So, Ephesians chapter 6, 5 through 8. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. There's a word for that nowadays, and I'm not going to say it, but you know what I'm thinking. It's not a very it's not a very Christian-like picture, but anyway, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. There's a parallel version of this same admonition in Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 through 25. I won't read that because it's almost exactly the same as this Ephesians verse that I just read. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor," check this out, "that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." Guys, that goes for you guys who have jobs too. Same thing. And verse 2 here. "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." Okay, and moving on here, masters were given instructions on how they were to treat their slaves. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening," all right, so don't threaten your slave, "forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." And in Colossians 4, verse 1, we find that masters are to treat their servants with justice and fairness. It says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." So see, guys, yeah, the New Testament doesn't flat out say slavery is wrong. No, it undermines slavery in a subtle, loving way that will change the hearts of believers and ultimately will change society. If society converts, if a society as a whole, the majority of the society, takes on Christianity and trusts in Christ, their hearts will change and they will reject slavery as a whole. Make sense? At least the negative aspects of slavery. Honestly, guys, I don't see a problem with people selling themselves into a servitude, not slavery, but like a bond servant type situation to work off their debt. I think there'd be a lot less problems here in the United States if people understood that if they run their credit card up or they get themselves into ridiculous debt, they can't count on the taxpayers or the businesses to bail them out. And that it's on their own back to get out of debt. Guess what? You wouldn't get in debt. You just wouldn't do it. And there'd be a lot of people who are living on the street who would decide, you know what? I could go in and subject myself to servitude to this business owner, and he would give me a place to live. He would take care of me. He would feed me. And at the end of 7 years, he'd set me free with a little care package to get me going. How many people would be on the streets if we had something like this available nowadays? I know there's some negative aspects, and I'm not talking about those negative ones. I'm just talking about if we had something like this available, I don't think we would have as many of the economic issues that we have today. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And I'm not talking about the slavery that we had in the South. That was disgusting and despicable. I'm just saying, from an aspect of more of a bond servant, you know, servitude, indentured servant, I guess I mean to say, that's not that bad. It really isn't. It's like you have a job, but you live on the job site. You still get time off, and you get taught about the Lord while you're at it. Anyway, let's move on. And by the way, I didn't mention this earlier. I mentioned that during these New Testament slave times, slaves could have their own money. They could acquire their own wealth, their own possessions, and they could run a business. Well, I didn't mention, and I should have mentioned, as far as Christian slaves go, they could have leadership positions in the church. Huh. It's kind of cool. Anyway, moving on. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Okay, that's rough. And the point there is that if you are serving an unbelieving master and you are serving them as if you're serving Christ, and hopefully that's going to change their heart, okay? Even if they are harsh people, your hope, your prayers are that they will be changed from the inside out. But otherwise, should they not change, it's not your job to retaliate. That's God. God deals with them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Not vengeance is fine, but vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let's go ahead and stop right there. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and you guys can leave comments and questions there. You can contact me. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Yikes. Anyway, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.